listening to the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. On the show today, sports psychologist Dr. Jenny Sussa presents part one of two episodes from the 2011 Adequan USDF Annual Convention that was held in San Diego, California.
Today we're going to talk about fear. It seems like a very common theme in riding. Well, what I want to talk about is really kind of dismantling the whole concept of overcoming fear. Because do you really want to have zero fear?
No.
Okay, thank you. That's what we're going to focus on. We're going to talk about fear. We're going to try and dismantle what happens when we get afraid, and then some tips, techniques, strategies for dealing with fear. Now, we call it overcoming fear. Some of you may overcome some of your fears about fear. But will you overcome fear? Probably not. But maybe we can make it just a little kinder and gentler. So sports psychology, you guys, are anyone completely unfamiliar with sports psychology? Super. Okay. So we like to try and give you guys new ways to think. Use your brains, emotions, and anything but, well, and your body to help you perform, learn, anything better. Anything that you're trying to do, I try to help you do it better. So what we're mostly going to focus on today is thinking, because I believe that everything starts with that, and I will show you how that kind of happens. Okay, so there's a couple of different things when you talk about fear. There's anxiety and there's fear. So we're going to talk about fear versus anxiety. Anybody ever thought about that there might be a difference between fear and anxiety? Yeah, there's a difference. And sometimes if you can tease out those definitions, it can make your relationship change, just like that. So we're going to break it down, how fear develops, where it comes from, how it impacts you physically, right? Huge physical response to fear, okay? How it impacts you mentally, and then the mental processes that you get stuck in. You ever notice you get afraid and the same thing happens? Same thoughts, same everything? Okay, we're gonna see if we can help figure out some ways to interrupt that. There's different types of fear, we're gonna talk about that, and then genres of fear. Genre is probably the wrong word, but I just like saying it, so. So we're gonna talk about some solutions and how to apply them, and if they apply to you. All right, sports psychology. Increasing performance through mental skills, training, and practice, okay? Anything that you learn here, or anything that you learn from a friend, a trainer, a book, a video, anything that you learn, can you just all of a sudden do it immediately and not have to practice it? Sports psychology is the same way, same way, okay? So whatever you want to get better at, you have to practice. What does fear feel like? Now, we've kind of started to touch on it, and you don't necessarily have to answer this out loud, but if you think about it, what I want you to start to do is think about what happens when I get afraid, okay? Because knowledge is power, and most of us, and everybody, almost everybody that I work with and that I see, you get afraid and your brain leaves the country. And can you do anything about that if your brain is gone and over there in France having a baguette and a glass of wine? No, absolutely not. But what I want you to start to think about, work here, work with me. What does it feel like when you get afraid? What happens? So just start to meditate on this. Yes.
Sweaty
palms, yep.
Stomach.
Heart rate, stomach. Your stomach drops out. Keep a physician on hand. Your neck gets tense. Yep. Yes.
Your mind goes blank.
Yes.
You stop breathing.
Your horse becomes afraid. Yep. Yeah. So a lot of things happen. We're going to keep talking about that. What happens? So be thinking about that. Okay. What really goes on? What happens for me when I get afraid? You have no idea what you look like when you're afraid. I'm sure your students have no idea that you're afraid, right? We are masters of disguising our emotions, okay? Start to think about, what do I look like when I'm afraid? Especially if you have a fear issue and you want your trainer to help you, you might need to inform your face really for them. So on the flip side, what does it look like when someone else is afraid? I told you, I do these clinics and I see people and I have no idea that they're afraid. So What does it look like when someone else is afraid? Does that mean anything to you? Does that give you an insight into what goes on for you? It's interesting, right? It's so personal and so individual. Have you ever thought about that? Because fear is not that easy to deal with, right? It is a rather unpleasant emotion. So we avoid it at all costs, and we also avoid dealing with it at all costs, pretty much. What don't you do when you're afraid? Relax. Keys to the kingdom there. Breathe. Yeah. Oh my God. That is the biggest one. You know, you see people writing, they're like, move your left arm. Do what? Right? What else don't we do?
Well, I don't face it.
Don't face it?
Face it.
You don't face it.
You don't smile.
You don't smile a whole heck of a lot when you're afraid. No, that's a good point. Yeah. Don't face it. What else? What don't we do? Think clearly. Do you think clearly when you're not afraid? You get afraid and like your mind goes out the window. And when do you really need it the most? What the heck? Okay, so let's talk about anxiety, right? So we're going to distinguish between anxiety. Anxiety is defined as an emotional state without an external threat. Okay, so for you, you fall more in the anxiety, right? You too, when you start thinking about you're riding along, everything's perfect, there's really no threat. Now, is there really no threat, really, on horses? But pretty much. So anxiety creates, this is what the psychologists define, an unpleasant feeling, right? I was like, clearly the guy who wrote this never experienced anxiety. An unpleasant feeling associated with worry, fear, or uneasiness. Okay, that is like putting it about as mildly as it can be put. But the threat is perceived to be unavoidable and uncontrollable, okay? Right, so anxiety is kind of what we conjure up in our heads, although it is so darn real, I'll never take that away from anyone. And it's related to an anticipation of future events, okay? So that's anxiety. Fear, an emotional response to a perceived threat that is current. I get these two questions all the time, and being a psychologist, they think I can like answer them. It's, you know, why do we always think in the negative and why do we get so afraid? And I'm like, boy, if I knew that, I could create a new human race. But I really believe it to be a biological imperative. Okay, we're so sophisticated now that we really don't relate to ourselves like we were hunters and gatherers once, and our lifespan was like 20 years long, and we used to really have to fight for survival, and that we have innate responses. But we don't relate to ourselves. We're so sophisticated that we think we're beyond that now. But really, we're not. And I believe that it's a survival mechanism, and that if we didn't become afraid of certain things, that we wouldn't have survived as a species. Okay, so part of this is God or the creator or whatever it is you believe, whatever color you think she is up there. It was given to you, right? That's how we're made and that's how we survive. Think about how animals survive. It's a basic survival mechanism, so fear is built in. We need it. So when you get angry with yourself for being afraid, I would ask that you have a little bit of compassion that you are an animal after all. Okay, so we talked about this a little bit. This is called your parasympathetic nervous system, okay? All these things that happen. So your pupils dilate, your heart rate goes up, your respiration rate goes up, you perspire, blood shunts to the organs and goes to the extremities, your hair stands on end, and you get tunnel vision, okay? These are all survival. All right, your heart rate goes up so that it can pump more blood to your muscles so that you can run faster, farther, and fight. Your heart rate goes, or your respiratory rate goes up so that you get more oxygen in. You perspire. This is the best one. When I learned this, I thought this was great. You perspire because what if your opponent grabs you and you're sweaty and slippery? Blood shunts to your organs. That's when your stomach drops. You need that doctor because it goes to your extremities and you get tunnel vision. Okay, so all those things, what those are for is for fighting or flighting an opponent. Okay, so all these things happen for a reason. Now, let me ask you on the flip side. If you're like totally cool, calm, and relaxed, can you run as fast as when this is going on? No. So do you maybe want a little bit of this? Maybe a little bit of control of all of this? So I was a swimmer. I swam at UCLA. I went to Olympic trials in 88. I made a couple of national teams. And I swam and swam and swam and swam and swam and swam and swam. And I never, ever once swam as fast in practice as I did at a swim meet because I had this going on. Okay, so it can be useful. When you show, don't you want a little, don't you like it when your horse is like a little bit? like this when you get, yeah, you can. Where are you going to get that otherwise? Okay, so let's just have the safety talk first, or in the middle now, about safety, okay? Because I started to talk about it at the beginning about overcoming fear. The number one thing is being safe, okay? You want to be safe, you want to be safe. I beg of you, please be safe, okay? When you are trying to work with your issues that are around fear, don't ever, ever take a risk. That's not worth it. Okay, we can all ask Courtney King about what calculated risks are, okay? But please, did I write it up here? We're not Paul Revere. The British are not gonna win if you don't ride today, okay? It's a good joke, but I'm serious. You know, I've worked with a lot of trainers who are like, I'm gonna get on and show that horse a lesson, and I've worked with a couple of Olympians who are like, why? How am I gonna make the next Olympic team if my leg or arm or head is broken, okay? So this usually takes a lot of pressure off of people because you don't have to ride, you know? Even if you are making the Olympic team, do you have to ride that day? But even if they do think you're less of a rider, who freaking cares, right? Are you less of a rider with a broken leg? I would say yes. We're good on safety, you guys. I promise you, just maintain your safety. I have a schoolmaster. I bought a schoolmaster about a year and a half. I rode as a kid, did the hack, you know, out in the field thing. Hardly ever took lessons. Then I, for 20 years, I did my swimming career, and then I did one of those city slickers vacations. I completely got reacquainted with my love of horses, and then I started riding, and luckily happened upon a dressage barn and just fell madly in love with it. But as an adult, like, I'm a chicken. And then I have this schoolmaster, and he was like bomb-proof. And he's super wonderful, and I'm riding around. I have this fabulous barn and this great indoor arena, and ice slides off the roof, and it sounds like a helicopter's landing on us. And he decided to run and buck and buck and buck and buck and buck until I became a human trajectory. And I'll tell you, man, it put some fear in me after that, so I can do this lesson well. But for me, now, if there's ice on the roof, I'm making, you know, a decision about whether or not I'm getting on my horse. You know, because guess what? Even though he didn't get hurt, it was not fun for him either. He was terribly traumatized, and it didn't build any confidence in him to have that happen either. So I think about that. So think about those kinds of things. What can you do to keep yourself safe? Okay, so what happens? We started to touch on this a little bit, but really there's always like kind of that instigating event, and that instigating event can be as simple as a thought or a memory. Okay, so something happens. You see, smell, taste, touch, feel, did I say hear yet? Hear something, and it sets you off. And this whole litany of thoughts, feelings, emotions, and physical responses occurs, right? And you're like, well, shoot, there it goes. I may as well just quit right now. Okay, so what happens? The process of fear. What happens is we react. We don't intentionally act, we react. So most of our fear responses are given to us. By the time we're this age, we have seen, felt, experienced, you know, reacted to fear enough times that we have a pattern of how we act. But it's really not an action, it's a reaction, it's a response. There's very little that we even actually think about. Anybody think about someone in their barn who's very afraid, and it's very easy to see, and you know exactly what's going to happen every time? It's incredibly powerful, but actually, the good news is that it's a habit. And guess what you can do with habits? You can change them. I really noticed after I got bucked off my horse that I became so afraid of just kind of everything. It seemed almost ridiculous. And when I would stop and take a step back and think about it and process it, then I could get my head back. But really being afraid of being afraid, like, oh my gosh, what if I get up there and then I'm afraid? What if I get up and I get nervous and he feels afraid and then he, Okay, so fearless. I don't think we touched on this yet. Ever see anyone who you think is fearless? Right? There's no such thing, okay? I was watching one of those YouTube videos of the guy who jumps off the cliff that's like, you know, 3 miles up and flies down in that silly suit, which actually looks just so cool, right? I mean, it's something that, like, I almost have to run to the bathroom just watching it, okay? And he's doing it. And he gets to the bottom and they interview him and he's like, man, was I scared. And I was like, what? He was scared. But he did it anyway because he had a certain length of things that he could do that he felt prepared him for it, right? So he was a risk taker, but he was gutsy, he was prepared, he had experience and confidence that he could do it, right? Kind of like your first, whatever, canter. You know, you're like, okay, well, let's see. I've been trotting for a while. I've watched a lot of people canter. My horse once kind of broke into the canter without me asking for it. And now I'm going to go ahead and canter. And you kind of like, okay, here we go. And you do it anyway. That's not called being fearless. You probably were a little bit afraid, but you did it anyway because you felt prepared enough to do it. So just because you're not fearless doesn't mean that you can't ever be brave.
Tune in next week for part two of Jenny's presentation. To view the series of six videos on this presentation, please visit eTrack online and search for Dr. Susser or Overcoming Fear. The 2014 Adequan USDF Annual Convention, presented by SmartPak, will be held in Cambridge, Massachusetts, from Wednesday, December 3rd through Saturday, December 6th. Visit eTrack, the USDF's online learning center and resource for dressage and equine education, to watch videos from these and other USDF events at usdf.org. The USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.